Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
It is Steve Arterburn, and he's here with two great people, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
We are well.
We're good.
Good to be with you, as always.
I like well. Well's always good. And I hope and pray that everybody here is doing well also. And if you're not, well, you're listening to the right program, because that's why we're here. And we are so fortunate to always get to help people who don't feel so well. And, in life, I think one of the things that a lot of folks live with is that in the Christian community, you're supposed to not have any problems. You're supposed to have this faith that makes you immune or fixes everything. And it's just so frustrating when you're not in that boat, when you do actually have some problems. And I always like to remind people, it's not a big, big earth-shattering truth, but this is a fallen world. And becoming a Christian does not reverse the fall. It just doesn't. So I hope and pray that you don't feel so bad about having a problem being a Christian, or maybe you're not a Christian, but you don't feel so bad that you're not willing to get some help. And I hope that just listening to the program isn't the only thing you're willing to do, because what we're willing to do has everything to do with the future. And man, do we ever want you to have a great future.
But Steve, I think that one of the things we have provided for people is that this is a safe, anonymous place where you can call. You know, being in the church and often being afraid to divulge problems, people have been able to call here. And so I think this serves a need for that, exactly what you're talking about.
It better be safe. We want it to be safe. Yeah. And if it's not safe, then we fix it. But we think it has always been safe, so safe that people use a different name. You know, it happens all the time, because, you know, maybe back home you are in a place where people are judged if they have problems and things. And so you can call and use a fake name. And, you know, being here with Betty and John is good. So just call us and use whatever name you want to use. But I'll tell you what, we are really looking forward to this next year. This next year is our 30th anniversary. It's a great year of ministry for us. And I hope that if you're not a part of what we're doing, that you'll jump in here and be part of it. Come to a workshop. Support. Maybe you don't need a workshop. Support somebody that does. Or maybe, you've got a Life Recovery Bible. Help somebody else get one. Or Every Man's Bible. I was at an open house, and the guy running the entire senior citizen center, he said, "My favorite Bible is Every Man's Bible. That Every Man's Battle, the book, changed my life." He said they had a daughter who had a tremendous, tremendous health challenge. And he left his wife and daughter, and went to move back home with his parents. And finally, he read Every Man's Battle, and the dad said, "Go home." He went home. They have two more daughters. And he said, "Because I read that book, I have two more daughters. Wow. What I would have had is a broken family, completely broken." That's what happens, see, when you support us and we get the word out about things like Every Man's Battle and the Bible, Every Man's Bible, things like that. So if you can help us, it'll be a great 2018, we think. It's going to be our best year ever. 30 years of transforming lives through God's truth, the true truth, and helping people be in redemptive relationships. We know what it's like to be in dumpster relationships. We don't want that. We want redemptive relationships, and you can do it. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with your phone calls. Hope you'll hold on. If you're on the line, we do want to help you right here on New Life live. You can listen on radio, podcast. We have an app, the New Life app, Sirius XM, all sorts of ways you can access this program.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. If you're in a redemptive relationship, not a redemptive relationship, Every Man's Battle might be the one. Restore, all these great workshops that we have going in 2018, if you support us. I think I've been in a couple of redemptive relationship. It's just
we're coining Steve's terms.
Yeah, this is brand new, everyone. Yeah. I mean, this is you'll hear it
hot off the brain.
I think we'll be hearing this a lot in 2018.
I think so.
Yeah, that's
well,
a good thing.
When you've been dumped, you know what redemptive means, or when you've had all the weight of the world dumped on you, you know it also. Let's go to the phones rather than continue like this.
Okay.
And I'm going to go to Marie, who's been holding quite some time now. And Marie, Lincoln, Nebraska. KJLT is the station. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Okay. How are you guys?
Great.
Good.
And how are you?
Well, I am dealing with a daughter that's 17 that's just been kind of a mess for the past year, a kid that I called in September, so I don't know if you'll recognize my call or not, but we're just progressing still.
We didn't fix it then? Oh, my goodness. How disappointing is that?
You gave me some suggestions, and it's helped, I think, but I don't know. Okay. This is not a one-time fix.
Okay.
She was a kid that had really was kind of a model kid until November of 2016, never been in trouble, did what she's told, involved in dance, sports, staying friends, just kind of did an about-face.
Hmm. Well, I don't know what happened there. That's not good.
Oh,
she'll call back. I hope she will. Yeah.
Oh.
We'll just.
She's been waiting such a long time. I feel bad.
I think she'll call back.
She
we'll
dropped.
Go to, but right now, we'll go over here to Adrian from Detroit, Michigan. No, we won't. We'll go right here to Adrian in Detroit, Michigan, and we'll wait for her to call back on the podcast. Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
My husband has been telling me recently that he's been listening to you, which is really a breakthrough for him.
Great.
And he didn't exactly say which program, but I've kind of figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have had issues from the very beginning. We've been married a little over 2 years, and we've had issues with some infidelity and some emotional affair with an ex-wife, which I is an emotional affair when you keep that side of the relationship going, which I feel belongs to me as his new wife.
Absolutely.
My husband holds a lot of resentment towards me. He basically thinks that if I would fix myself, our marital problems would be okay. And he will not acknowledge his responsibility. He'll acknowledge it, but then he'll say, but. And when he says, but, that negates anything in the form of an apology, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really love for him to go to that men's program. And I would like to follow up and go to the women's program and follow up with that by going to the marriage program. He's going to recognize my voice. I don't want to betray his safe place with you.
but I would like for him to hear a side that he may not understand, that I love him. I support what he's listening to. I know that he's listening to God's voice, and I would just tell him that I encourage him, and that I know that what he does is not his fault, and he doesn't want to do those things. But that doesn't take away the fact that I feel like he has to face it and fix it.
Well, you know, here's the dilemma: is that all of us men, we want to be men, and then we get tripped up, and this thing of sexual unfaithfulness, whether it's pornography, affairs, whatever, it's not just a trip. I mean, it's a trap. It's like one of those bear traps. It grabs you. It hurts, and it hurts people around you. And so what I would say to him is, hey, I understand, you know, you think that waking up to the reality is a big deal, and it is. But now wake up to what it takes to be the man you want to be. Looking in the mirror and go, wow, I am a man of integrity. I have character. I did the right thing. My wife is proud of me. And you know what? I'm kind of proud of myself that I did the tough thing, the hard thing. That's what we invite men to do all the time. Jill, Mylon, your thoughts for her about him.
Well, Adrian, you said that he's angry at you all the time. And it sounds...
Yeah, I feel like if he... The way I interpret it is that if he can be angry at me, it focuses off of him.
Right, he doesn't have to deal with his stuff.
He nitpicks me and forces me to look at my faults and my misgivings, which God knows I have plenty.
Right.
In order for him not to face what he's actually really doing. And he can tell me all day long he's not doing it anymore. He's being faithful. He's doing this. He's doing that. You know, but I know the face of the devil and what he tells these men. And I know that he's still doing what he does not want to do.
But it's not a matter of whether he does what he does or doesn't want to do. It's a matter of, it's not stopping something for a certain length of time. It's about building character.
Right.
Growing into a male that he's proud of.
I think that you were supposed to fix him or fix things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? This is a new marriage, and so then he's going to be a different person with you. And it sounds almost like now you're the one that's getting dumped on. I'm really curious if the ex-wife experienced this, and now she's the one that's outside of the marriage, right?
They only talk when her live-in boyfriend is not around, because he gets upset when he finds out that they talk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a deceitful thing that they do together.
Well, right. Now she's the other woman.
And
he's the other man,
woman.
Right? Instead of them both dealing with the people that they're in relationship with. Right?
Right.
It's deceitful to you.
On each other. Unfaithful to me in a way, and I can't get him to understand my feelings, and he just basically tells me to deal with it because they have adult daughters that they talk about.
Okay.
And, you know, I understand that, but it goes deeper than that, and I know that too. I'm not a fool.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree with
Jill.
Well, your name got changed to Betty a little while
that's
ago,
right.
I had to figure out who that
temporary
was.
Change.
Temporary change.
Yeah.
Your husband sounds ambivalent. What I mean by that is that he's in, he's out, he's hot, he's cold, he idealizes, then he devalues. Somebody is great, then they're all bad. And a case in point would be his ex-wife, that he's having an emotional affair with her, as you reported. You know, but he divorced her. So when he divorced her, they got a divorce. She was all bad. Now she's all good again. And I think you're right, Jill. You know, Adrian may have been the one he idealized.
Right.
But now that he's with her, she's now all bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of his behavior is this quest for idealism. We talk about it in our book, How We Love, this ambivalent attachment is called. We refer to this person as the vacillator. And they're always in a quest for finding that perfect place where they feel perfect and it's ideal. Mm-hmm. And when somebody doesn't make them feel that, then you are to blame for all their bad feelings. And it's a horrible right. place to be in, Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
And
he does the same thing to his mother as well. His yeah. mother is lumped into all of this.
That's
well.
Right. Yeah. So all I'm saying is I highly recommend that you look at the vacillator or ambivalent attachment. Again, it's a very heavily researched attachment style, and it's something that may help him to understand why he has this mixture of feelings of mm-hmm. of restlessness when challenges of reality, of the real person, Jill, right. sets in. You know, then we tend to drift off quickly to this ideal place mm-hmm. of what life might be like with the perfect person, which doesn't exist.
Right.
And so we're in this bouncy position in life. And but you're right, to come to an EMB, to come to a Restore workshop, to come to the couples workshop intensive would be great steps that you could take as a couple, because in all those, or at least some of those, we address many of these mm-hmm. issues.
And I think even getting
we've
your
been to
book.
Counseling, we've been to Christian counseling, we've been to a counselor who is versed in sexual addiction, and he had given me some things to work on myself, which I had begun to do and continue to. And as soon as we got to the part where we were going to have to start talking about my husband's issues, he said he was never going to go back.
Right. So, you know, again, not all counselors are acquainted with attachment research and practice in their clinical office, and they aren't oriented toward attachment research. So I recommend that while that's all good stuff, what mm-hmm. is the root underneath the need for the sexual acting mm-hmm. out is another part of the answer to that question through understanding
right.
attachment. But I think you're right, and I hope he is listening on the radio, and we'd love to have him come to an Every Man's Battle workshop.
Mm-hmm.
We all need that.
Well, and it's not about
that.
It's not about just exposing a person's badness, mm-hmm. because I hear that he really can't tolerate his badness.
He is a wonderful man. He mm-hmm. is a wonderful person. You know, we all have things that we regret.
Right.
Wish we hadn't done and do things that we mm-hmm. don't want to do, but are somehow compelled for
right.
whatever reason. But he is a decent person, and I don't want to lose him.
Well,
to
I think maybe
to the world.
Maybe if we send How We Love, that maybe he would be willing to read a little bit there, and if he saw himself in it, it might be a little more disarming in terms of mm-hmm. seeking help that would deal with those issues.
Okay.
So,
well, you used the word wonderful man, and there's another W word that's more wonderful than the word wonderful, and it's a willing man. Humble willingness
right.
is, I think, the true measure of a man, and I would just ask him, if he is listening, please consider willingness as one of the greatest virtues that any person can have. When we dig in our heels and say, no, I'm too good, or I'm not good enough for, or whatever, whatever excuse we use to block willingness, it really does prevent us from experiencing everything that God has for us, and really kind of what you committed to. When
That's
you commit,
really a good point, because
yeah.
it, you know, him just making the move to start telling me that he's been listening to you shows me his willingness
yes.
to
right.
be open to
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he
right.
didn't
so
turn
I
it
think,
off immediately.
Yeah.
So
and that's
good.
Where I think he's wonderful, too.
Yeah.
is to be open to. Yeah,
so he's
right,
inching his way.
To be willing.
So you want to say
I'm
to.
I'm praying.
You're praying what?
I pray constantly for my husband. When
mm-hmm.
I stir my coffee in the morning, I pray for
That's
my
good.
Husband every
Aww.
Day, all day.
Good,
I pray
good.
For my husband, for our marriage,
so,
for
so
myself.
So pray that he turns his wonder into willing, okay?
Absolutely.
That's the
Absolutely.
Goal for you. Because it's nice to be aware of your problem. It's also nice to want it to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But are you willing to do what it takes? That is where a real man has to step up, and it's not fun. All right, let's go to, how about Marie, Lincoln, Nebraska. Here we are. Marie, hi. Welcome. How you doing?
Good, good.
You're back.
Glad to have you back here. Thanks for calling us back. Sorry we lost you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I left off with my daughter had done a complete turnaround about a year ago, and ever since then, we just had problems. She's gotten in trouble with the law. She got on probation. She was duly diagnosed with mental health and substance abuse problems. She ended up in a PRTF for about 2 months, and I saw some changes, but it only dealt with mental health. Then she went on a, she could have come home at that time, but I was working with probation. I just didn't want to end up right back in the same place we'd just come from. I thought 2 months was kind of a short period of time with all the problems we had had. She tried to overdose twice. She tried to commit suicide in front of me, and my younger children took a handful of pills, tried to jump out of the car. I just didn't think 2 months would have been enough time to solve most of those problems.
Yeah, I agree.
The group home that she went to, though, was not good. I kind of saw her, going back, like, on everything she had done. I saw it kind of going, spiraling downward. They mostly worked on vocational stuff. Mm-hmm. She went to court. She ran away when I was trying to take her back there. And from there, she got put on an ankle bracelet. And now we're kind of looking at, I've seen her, she's at home now on an ankle bracelet, but I've seen her substance abuse kind of increase.
Hold on. We'll help you.
Food has been an issue with me. I keep eating to push down the emotions. I did really well at isolating before I went to Living Light, and it taught me to get out of my comfort zone and just move. We had exercises every morning throughout the workshop, and it really helped me to get in touch with that sadness and get some movement going. I just thought it was really well done, because during the day we had these workshops, and at night we had the smaller groups. I never felt so loved and cared for in my life. I walked away with a hope that I hadn't had in a long time. Living Light was just a turning point for me.
The Living Light Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. January 26th through the 28th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks for being here with us. We are back here at New Life, and glad that you're with us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. And if you can help us, everything we do is designed to help people. And we get to see the results of that. Right now, Marie's got a really, really tough situation. Mm-hmm. And I think, Marie, everything that you've said is saying nothing has been strong enough, good enough, effective enough to finally produce some kind of change in your daughter. Jill, what are your thoughts on that? Let's start with you.
Well, I'm thinking that, Marie, you're correct in that she needed more time. I mean, this is a horrific situation, and I'm so sorry for the chain of events. And there's certainly a lot that we could look at of what led up to this. But I think at first there has to be some containment of this acting out behavior. And at 16, you just have a couple more years. And it's really important that you do everything you can. And so if one thing isn't working, it's like, okay, what's the next step up? I have known lots of people who have put their kids in boarding school treatment centers where it's very structured, and they work with the families. And I have known families that have finally gotten some help. So that is an option you may need to go with. If 2 months didn't help and the right types of places that you found haven't been enough, as Steve was saying.
It does seem like she needs to go away mm-hmm. for a long period of time mm-hmm. in a controlled environment
yeah.
where people have dealt with other folks just like her.
That was my question, because I saw some improvement when she came home. I mean, she mm-hmm. used to be really angry and try to hit us, all kinds of terrible stuff. And I've seen some improvement on self-control, but it seems mm-hmm. like she's just exchanged some of that for substance abuse. Now I see mm-hmm. her smoking, you know, she wants to use substances. I mean, she'll ask me to buy her things, which of course I'm not going to do that. I mean, I think, I don't know if dually not treating things together the first time was where, you know, things went wrong. She has the opportunity to go to a long-term co-occurring dual diagnosis treatment center that treats both okay. Mental health and substance abuse, or a 30-day program. And that's kind of where I'm struggling, because it's really nice to have her home and see some improvement, but at the same time I know she's not there. You know, she's not even close to being there yet where she needs to be or used to be.
So Marie, what happened to this compliant child? Did something happen all of a sudden? Because it seems so unusual for her to go
yeah.
from compliant to acting out at this severe of a level. Do you know if anything happened to her?
Well, we did really look at trauma to see if there was some traumatic event. And when she was at the TRTF, they kind of came down. She has a borderline intellectual functioning, which we didn't even know until we started doing this testing. In about seventh grade, it came really hard for her to cope. Like at school, she said, I just don't think I can do this. And I thought, you know, it's junior high. I'll just encourage her, because I didn't even know. Schoolwork was always hard for her, but nothing like developmental disability realm. And then eighth grade, she just couldn't do it. So we started homeschooling for a year and a half. I mean, I have a background in education. And I worked from home. It wasn't a terrible problem then. But about 10th grade, she wanted to go back. And she went back to school. And that's the common denominator. The counselor thought that, too. She just couldn't handle it. I mean, mm-hmm. she just started. I could see her decompressing. And before we could even do anything about getting back to homeschooling, she had started drinking. And I think it was kind of a stress situation. That's the only thing we can figure out is,
right.
That borderline intellectual functioning, she really has a hard time functioning socially. Mm-hmm. Any kind of stress just sends her over the edge. Coping.
Okay, well, that's
so she's self, coping, yeah, totally self medicating.
So that's really an important place to begin. That mm-hmm. she understands that, you know, she has some sort of a learning disability or a social disability of some sort. And of course, when you put her into social educational mm-hmm. environments, it's going to push her. It's going to be create a tipping point. That combined mm-hmm. with adolescence is a lot for this girl to go through. And I think at some level, you really want there needs to be an element of nurture and
right.
care for that part of her that is so hurt.
Right, because this is different than an angry acting out.
Yeah,
child, right?
The anger's being there defiant. But there's an anger there for a reason, Jill, mm-hmm. that she's angry because there's a loss.
Right.
There's a loss she faces. It's mm-hmm. not as though she's just being this willfully defiant person. She had to come to grips with this loss in her life.
And add to that the frustration of nothing is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
There's no answer there for her, whereas for many other people, there are. Maybe we can help you find well, you say that you do have that option.
Mm-hmm.
You said it, but it felt good for her to be home. And I just hear parents so often say to me, here's when things changed, is that when we no longer did things that felt good to us. You know, like it felt good for her to be home, but we knew that she needed to be somewhere else, no matter how it felt. She just didn't need to be here. And that's tough. That's a tough place to get to. But I hope and pray that you guys will, you know, be there for her as you maybe pick the tough option here
mm-hmm.
for a while. She sounds to me like...
Is that the recommendation you would suggest?
I would look at it with tremendous, tremendous seriousness versus like it's the last option. It might need to be looked at as the best.
Well, and I think you really need to look at what they provide. Like the dual diagnosis is really important. And so what supports are actually there in each of the programs that you're looking at. And then, you know, you make a decision to move forward with the one that's going to best fit your family.
Yeah.
We're sorry this happened,
you know,
Marie.
I know.
You are...
thank you.
You're a great mom. You're doing everything you can, and she's very fortunate to have you. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NEW-LIFE.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." They'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip, and that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, your phone calls. Right. Let's go here to Becky. Becky from 29 Palms, California. Hello, Becky. How are you?
I'm okay.
What's going on? How could we help
you? I'm just kind of fighting to be out here. I listen to you guys every day, every morning, every time in my car. I listen to you guys, and it's encouragement because it's helping me what I'm going through in my marriage. Well,
okay.
I've been married over 2 years now, and we have 3 kids. Well, me and him have 1 kid together, and I have 2. And so what's going on is that I've been... You know, I had just got saved when I met him. God used him or whatever, and I had just got saved. And I seen the signs and stuff, like, in the beginning of, before we even got married. But I kind of ignored it and just went ahead and got married. Well, what's going on is that he's going back to... pornos and homosexual. He keep going back to that, and I try to get all kind of help as far as counseling and stuff like that. And I also, good news is that I ended up building my relationship when I got saved. I ended up building my relationship by him doing the stuff that he was doing, living 2 separate lives. And I found out about it, and so I tried to get help for him and also for me. And, you know, and we went to got some counseling help at the church and stuff, and And, you know, and I ended up staying with him and thought that, you know, he got delivered from it. Well, down the line, a couple months just now, I just found out, last month, I just found out he's he went back to it. And,
okay,
and so right now I'm just kind of just overwhelmed and stressed out. And, and we're supposed to, I want to get a divorce because I feel like he's not trying.
Here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma.
Okay.
You went to a church that thought that him being delivered from it would fix it, right?
Well, by going to the counselor, I thought that he got delivered from because he said he didn't do it no more when I asked him.
Well, see,
so I thought
but
maybe
nobody
had delivered
we say this all the time. Nobody we've ever known gets delivered from something and delivered into instant character.
Yeah.
So he might have stopped it right then, but if he had started to work and get some help on faithfulness and diligence and different character things, might be different. But what you've got is you've got an unfaithful partner who isn't safe to be with, because you don't know where he's been, who he's had sex with, or anything like that.
And it's
so what is it?
Wife.
What's that?
It's asking his second marriage to happen the same thing with her too as well.
Okay.
He keeps repeating the same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what?
Like when he gets explode. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, how could we help you? What do you want us to help you with?
Well, I'm trying to, what I need is to, because I'm to where now I want to get a divorce. You know, at first, you know, the church here I go to is saying, you know, stick with him and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, because if I leave, it's going to be worse. But it's already worse now because he's still doing it. And I don't, and what I need help is I want to get a divorce because I'm tired, you know, keep going through this and him not having no willing heart to want to change.
Mm-hmm.
And putting the boys, you know, we have all boys, and putting the boys through this, and you know, at first I start feeling bad, like, okay, if I stay, then, you know, it's like he's not gonna. I felt bad if, you know, if I had leave, and then he go back, then I realized, like, well, it's not my fault that he go back because he's doing it now. So,
okay.
You know,
so
I just need some advice and encouragement.
You don't. The first thing you need to do is. You need to separate from him and not ever have sex with him, okay? That's the first thing.
We're definitely doing that now because we are separated now as far as living different houses.
Okay. And so separating hasn't brought him back to reality, right?
Nope. He keep doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's hear from Mylon and Jill. What do you guys think she ought to do? What do you think's her best move here?
Well, I think... First of all, Becky, I am relieved to hear that you are separated from him because if a person is leading a gay lifestyle, it's very, very possible that, as Steve said, you have to protect yourself sexually. What, you know, the kinds of various diseases that can be transmitted, sexually transmitted diseases, they're horrific, and you want to separate yourself from that. Number two, I agree with Steve. People aren't delivered from something and then automatically grow into a mature human being. They just don't. That just doesn't happen hand in hand. What's interesting, Becky, is if you said to your husband, the first place I want you to start is by going to Every Man's Battle, which is a workshop that we have at New Life, because there are men that go to that Every Man's Battle weekend who struggle with all aspects and ranges of sexual indiscretion, including gay lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. And I would say that that would be a starting spot for him because he'd have to then face his sexually promiscuous behavior,
mm-hmm.
his acting out. He'd have to be able to learn to see you as a wife, as a person, and it would be a constructive place for him to begin if he really wanted to work on things.
And I think it would be important, Becky, that whether you end up staying married or not, you now are tied to him because of the child you've had mm-hmm. together. And in terms of an example for these boys, better to have someone who struggled and got help for mm-hmm. that and learned and grew versus him, you know, doing the opposite. And this history keeps repeating itself. And I think that's something that I would say to him is that, you know, this is important for you to do for our children at the very least. And when are you going to stop the cycle? You know, how many more wives are you going to take on? And continue this. So let's see what can be done, and he's got to make a decision about his life and really what he wants in life.
And Becky,
mm-hmm.
you have to decide what you're going to do, because somehow you've picked two guys that haven't been the best mm-hmm. choice for you.
Yeah. I try everything, you know. I even told him, you know, talk to him and stuff, and he just like he don't know how long he's gonna be doing this, and right now he don't want to come out, he don't want to do nothing, he just want to stay in the middle, I feel like my decision is to get a divorce.
Well, but then Becky, you still have to be very careful in the future. How do you mm-hmm. how
right.
do you select a person that's safe? How much time does it take to determine what a person's character is?
You know, and Becky, yeah, excuse me, Miley,
no, it's okay.
We don't want you to do the same thing that your husband is doing,
right.
That you just keep going from relationship to relationship, and the answer is to just leave and start over and find mm-hmm. another guy that's better. There's something yeah. off with the people that you choose. And so what's attracting you, what's underneath that for you is really, really important for you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing to look at is your lack of support system, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you would have had, if you had some really great girlfriends around, they would have said, ooh, I'm not liking who you're dating here. I think maybe you ought to give this a second thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely know I know as far as my mistakes, I definitely have made bad decisions and choice of the guys that I date. I just thought maybe this would have been different because he was in Christ.
Yeah, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you, is this the one? Is this the one? Because anybody that marries somebody because they say they're a Christian and think that that's going to provide them with any kind of guarantee of character or real manhood. I mean, it just doesn't. You just can't do that. It doesn't. It doesn't say anything. It's just saying, I'm picking this label. Now, what's underneath the label? And if you don't take the time to find out, it's just going to be one mess after the other. I've got one segment left. And so hold on, we'll try to get to your call. In the meantime, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I want you to call us. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand.
God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. It is Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Listen, there are folks who called to help us. Mm. A woman donated $25 in the midst of her grief. Her mom passed away. She was preparing for the memorial, but she took the time to call us because, well, we were able to help her in the midst of the grief. Wow. Mark called to donate $200 because he was so thankful for how much our workshops have helped him.
Wow.
Now, if you're listening and you're grateful for the radio program, I hope that you'll do the same. Or maybe you've been to a workshop and you want to pay it forward. I hope and pray that you will. Now, I'll send Becky, Take Your Life Back, so that there's some way that she can get out of this poor picking and get some courage. Mm-hmm. But everything in me says you've got to get those women around you to help support you. Please do that. All right, let's go to Candy, Columbus, Ohio. This is our final caller. Hi, Candy. Welcome to New Life. How can we help you?
Hi.
Hi. What's going on? Hello, Candy.
Okay. Can you hear me?
How could we help? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was married to a narcissist for 10 years.
Okay.
Afterwards, we separated for 3 years. Now we've been divorced for 5 years. We have 3 children, an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And for the past 3 to 4 years, their dad has been living in a different state. Now, over the years, he's done so many different things, his sporadic behavior. He's irrational, disrespectful, erratic, and all of that. And just recently, I've just gotten to the point that I cannot deal with him on any level. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have any communication with him of any kind.
Sure.
So my question is, how do I keep my breaking ties with him from interfering with any potential relationship that he could have with his children?
Seems like that would be impossible. Seems like because you do have children together, you're kind of forced to have some kind of interaction with him, as even, I mean, you could say, disgusting as it is, whatever it is.
The older ones, the older two, though, I would imagine could have more of a direct relationship with him if they chose. Mm-hmm. I mean, does he contact them? Do they text?
He contacts them rarely, but okay. For them, I pretty much leave that up to them.
Okay.
You know, because I know my 10-year-old, he might need some assistance, but he's ignored him so many times, mm-hmm. and that's part of my frustration. You know, he blocked my number for no reason, and my 10-year-old was trying to get a hold of him, and we didn't even know what was going on. And so he just totally ignored him for like 3 months. Mm. And it's like, I guess the main, I just don't want to exasperate the situation, because I feel like any contact that we have, it's almost like at this point, I just think I'm just going to snap because of everything that he's done.
Right.
And I don't want that to happen, because I feel like that will make the situation worse. So if there is a way, I don't know how to have a relationship with him with the way that I'm feeling.
Well, right. I think it probably any communication needs to be very limited and, you know, perhaps in writing, you know, emailing, mm-hmm. or texting, but keep it very limited and really monitor how reactive you are. So sit with it. You know, when you read it and you have a reaction, then don't answer right away. Come back to it later. Or if it's something that's really stirring you up, have someone else read it. Because, okay. You know, sometimes our initial reaction when we read it later, it's a little different than we thought. And so just keep it, your comments very concise and to the point, and don't talk about issues because you're not going to change him. Also, you aren't responsible for making sure your boys have a relationship with him. Yeah. That's really on him. I mean, you don't want to get in the way of it and block it per se unless it's not safe and it's something the boys don't want. But it's really on him. And so your boys have to learn sooner rather than later who their dad is.
Yep.
And they have to deal with that reality. And so you are there to help them in the midst of that reality. Mm. Even if he disappears, though, in fact, if he disappeared, probably it might be a better thing because studies have shown that better to have someone completely removed than have someone chaotic and intermittent and constantly disappointing. So, yeah.
I read those same studies. Yes. And it really is true. Mm-hmm. It's hard for people to believe. A comment or two here before we go.
Well, first of all, Candy, I think it's important for you to validate your kids' experience,
yes.
their emotions, and their confusion, and to say, you know, that I feel the same way too, because your 10-year-old little girl is going to really struggle with, you know, the lack of contact, the intermittent type of connection that's on his based on his needs, not anybody else's. To be able to say to them, it is helpful to it for a child to hear from a parent, yes, this is difficult for me too. Yes, mm-hmm. his behavior is hard for me too. That way the child feels a sense of explanation, of that you're kind of wrapping your arms around her or the boys and helping them understand, yeah, this is a rough one. And yet we can process together and talk about how challenging this is. Mm-hmm. So at some level, for you to be able to share that with them is important, I believe.
Yes, I'd like to slap him silly is sometimes a feeling that mm-hmm. you have. But you don't want to go that far. But you do want to share with them, oh, my goodness, I understand. You know, the other thing that helps you to do that in a healthy way is sometimes you need to get help with a trauma specialist because you've been traumatized over and over and it just keeps lingering on. I'll send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that is something that you could benefit from. And then I'm also going to send you Jill's book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, because maybe there's some things in there that you could help mm-hmm. the kids kind of come to grips with, some hints and some ways that they could start doing some work as they come to grips with who this man really is. Well, it is Friday, December the 22nd. We'll have Christmas Eve this Sunday, and then Christmas, and then here comes December 31st, pretty quick. By that time, we need to raise $1.5 million to do what we love doing. Lives are changed. Lives are transformed. And redemptive relationships are formed. They're repaired. It's one of the greatest things about New Life is our helping people to repair rather than stay in this stuck mode all the time. If you want to help us, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? That's the phone number. If you're watching, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com. You can find out all about what we do. But the best thing to do is to call and talk to a real-life human being, listens to your story just like we do, and says, here's what I think might be the best thing for you to consider. What a great thing that is. And they're there. And we love having our call center. It's in Dallas, Texas. And we've just found folks that love helping people. They're right there. It's 1-800-NEWLIFE. That's the same number that you call if you're grateful that we're on radio, if you're grateful that we've helped people. We need your support. So we love it that people have found this program, that maybe in a place where there isn't counseling or it's not easy or they're just not willing, this is what they hear. And it changes the way they start to think about their particular situation. Here's one thing that I know about Christmas. It's a great time of hope. It's new beginnings. And that's what we offer right here. It's hope. You don't have to stay the same. If you're willing, you can take steps to be a different person. If you're willing, you can relate to a different person in a different way. You can be different and better. But you have to call us first. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we can't be there if you don't help us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please do. Please help us. Support us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.